Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Divisional round weekend almost here. The Bills and Ravens will cap it off Sunday night. 6:30 kickoff. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, will be on with you after the game. What will happen in the game? Simple question. 803-0550 if you want to answer it here with everybody listening all together.
I like the Bills to win the game, Mike.
Do you?
Yeah.
I do too. Because of the one point I keep coming back to, which is I just trust them at this point. And, you know, you would know, it's not common for me to pick against Baltimore. But I am swayed by their failures in the playoffs in previous years. I'm scarred. As somebody that likes to pick Baltimore and has done pretty well doing so over the years, I'm kind of scarred by that. And I will tell you, like, nobody knows what's going to happen, and I certainly don't. And I tend to go back and forth on these picks. Like, if something seems obvious, well, then it's probably wrong to me. But maybe this time it'll be right.
Well,
I think that I've seen them not be at their best too often in the playoffs. If Derrick Henry makes them immune to that, and it settles Jackson and makes Jackson able to do more of his thing like has happened all season. I mean, who would ever have conceived of somebody leading the NFL in yards per attempt and quarterback rating and yards per carry? Like, how does that even make sense?
That's quite a triple crown. Yeah.
So if it's the case that they're just like up to the moment, then maybe they're too good. But on the road and what Allen has been this year himself, the season the Bills have had, I'm not ready to. I'm not up for betting against them.
Yeah, the it might be like we started today, like with you asking, is it really slanted towards Baltimore? Like nationally, it feels like, you know, and we can fall into a trap here. I think in Buffalo, any place can, but Buffalo certainly has been. A fan base. The Bills fan base, I think, has been a fan base that has felt slighted over time. I think they're getting plenty of credit, the team is, these last 5 or 6 years. But over time, like, we were overlooked and neglected. So we're always kind of scratching and clawing for ours. So I think you can kind of lapse into, oh, of course, everybody's picking the other team. Everybody's picking the other team. I have seen, it feels to me, I'm not tracking it, you know, like I don't have a spreadsheet, but it feels like a lot of the same points are being made over and over again by multiple different, you know, analysts on different platforms, different podcasts, like the running game, the difficulty in defending Lamar and Derrick Henry, all of it all together. And plus, you know, Buffalo's own ghosts they've got, McDermott, will he do the right things? I think it's possible that part of what gets me to feeling like it's all groupthink, Baltimore, 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 is that like you just said something that tripped the wire for me. Like, if everyone is saying that, then maybe it'll end up being wrong. Like, it's just we're all just on the same train of thought, and it's football. Like, who knows really what's going to happen? I don't know that the people making these points are certain it's going to turn out a certain way or not. But I think it works for me as an observer, as someone who talks about this for a living, to feel like the Bills are being overlooked or ignored in some way. I don't need to have a chip on my shoulder about it. I have no control over anything. But for my headspace, I think it helps to have me. I might be taking everything in without as much objectivity as I might like, because I think it works for me to have Buffalo's offense seem like it's being relatively ignored in the conversation about this game, because everything seems to be about size and strength and Henry, and they're going to just physically grind you up. And I don't know. I all week I've just felt like it's not 1978. You know, I get that that can be a unique challenge, the personnel that Baltimore may present, and the Bills have to counteract it some way by maybe leaving their comfort zone, i.e. playing with three linebackers, which they did a bunch in the meeting eventually against Baltimore back in week 4. And, you know, the game kind of stabilized for them, but score effects, who knows? I mean, Baltimore was way in front and, you know, didn't have to get after it maybe as much. But I'm just going a long way to say, it works for, I think, the Bills fan base. I'll bet it even works for a lot of the players, if not maybe most importantly the quarterback, that their side of this matchup is just sort of, yeah. They're over there. What is McDermott going to do? What are they going to do to slow down this offense of Baltimore? And yeah, I get that question being asked. It should be asked, but it's, to me, dominating the conversation in a way that I don't think is warranted. I think it's, in a way, ignoring a Bills offense that was second in points per game this season. Look, they've had a great offensive year. And no, Allen does not have as spectacular a set of numbers as Jackson has, but he's had an incredible year. And if you've got a game that's hanging in the balance in the fourth quarter, I'm going to feel pretty good. I mean, Baltimore should feel good about their guy too. But I've seen Jackson step in it in these moments more than we've seen Allen step in it. And I don't want to ignore that. You know, for all the reputations of McDermott getting tight and he's going to play soft or whatever he's going to do, these tendencies that he's had, Baltimore's had a tendency to sort of step on landmines themselves.
Well, you wonder if the way the Bills season has gone, if they've grown out of that, right? I mean, McDermott in particular, that's always been, it still is, right? It's not decided yet. That's always been one of the hang-ups with looking forward to their season and trying to predict it and can they actually win it, is in the playoffs, will he let it out? And we don't really know yet. I mean, last week was fine. They won going away, and this was not actually put to the test like it was last year against the Chiefs, for instance, in this round. So that probably starts here. 803-0550 for your calls. It is Football Friday, playoff edition. You can see us on our Facebook page today going up until 6 and the Sabres pregame show. Sal coming over at about 5:30. Should we do picks here, maybe?
Do whatever you want.
I'll eat this burrito
from
Taquito Lindo.
Does not matter to me.
Should I do that as we do picks, or just save the burrito? Eat the burrito, save the burrito.
It seems like eating the burrito during picks would be challenging.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. You want to really do that.
No, I shouldn't have wanted to do the noise I just made at all. Pretending to be eating was probably a poor choice. All right, well, here we go. There are 7 games left in the NFL season. Let's do our picks.
What if I did do it, even though I admit to nothing and never will? What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught, each and every one of them, who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Let's go one by one.
Am I just nervous about the picks? Did it just get really hot in here? Like you brought up picks, and suddenly I feel like a sheen of sweat under my shirt. I think I'm nervous about picks.
There's really no reason to be nervous.
No, I know.
Because you're just going to pick against me, right?
Stupid, yeah.
Will you necessarily go 4-for-4 against me? Or maybe not? Well.
That's where we're at. I'm down by 5. You said it just now. There's 7 games left. I just don't have a lot of options here. we get to it here. Like I need to go opposite you. Otherwise, I'm just playing for a tie at best. So, all right, let's hear what you're going to do, and then we'll find out what I'm doing.
First game of the weekend tomorrow at 4:30, ESPN and ABC, Houston at Kansas City. The Chiefs favored by 8.5 with a total of 41.5. That's really low for a Chiefs game. You're looking in the 24-16 kind of range here by the odds. I do like the idea of the Texans. I think we have spent most of the season waiting for Kansas City to crack, and they never did. And toward the end of the season, I think we mostly decided that they were fine now. And I don't know. Houston was really good against the Chargers. A Chargers team, I thought, that was live to beat Kansas City. So now what? The problem I have with this idea, though, is knowing
Houston's not very good.
Is that's the Chiefs. No, it's knowing to respect the value of the bye. And with the Chiefs, they even got the Week 18 break, not needing that game. So in this contest, I'm not sure I'll bet this game, but I'm going to take Kansas City -8.5. I don't love it. I'd love to see them lose, but I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Great place to start. He doesn't love it, folks.
Doesn't love it.
It's a guaranteed win for me. I'll take Houston in the points. I think if this thing were tied, I would take Houston in the points. Because as much, like, all year, I've been kind of down on Houston going all the way back to the summer. They're not on the tier with all the great teams, and it turned out that ended up being correct. So I don't love them. I thought Kansas City, I was saying leading up to the holidays, they'll lose their first playoff game. They've got the look of a team that could lose their first playoff game. And you're right. You just described me to a T, because the holidays came. One of those games was a game against this team, and they looked more like Kansas City has looked when they were really on their game. But they're at this point, they're like a college team that's been out for a month after their regular season, and then they're waiting to go play the Insurance Bowl or something. I think they could get off to a slow start in this game, and I'm getting a lot of points, so I like my side. I don't know, you know, obviously we'd all love it if Houston pulled the upset, but I think it's a lot of points for a team that's been dormant for 3 weeks.
Man, it changes the feelings about Bills Ravens so much. It would, depending on who wins that game Saturday, because as well as Sunday could go for the Bills, and they've beaten the Chiefs 4 years in a row, but if you know your reward is going there next week, that's still a lot. I mean, there's still a long way to go, as opposed to being home for the Houston Texans, where you'd be a touchdown favorite probably, injuries notwithstanding. So what a difference.
That's when I'll get nervous.
Is if Kansas City loses?
Yes. That'll just feel like it changes from, for me anyway, really great team, two great teams, somebody's got to lose, you know, all right, you know, depending on whether there's a smoking gun coaching decision or something, or the refs or whatever, but like you lose, like, all right, I know it's the same round, but that's a great team and somebody had to lose. Like I don't think I'll be mad, I'd be frustrated, sad, but mad, Man, you tell me I now have the chance to host Houston in the AFC title game. I'm going to get tight. I don't think the Bills will necessarily get tight over that. Now it feels like you better not lose. Whereas if you got to go to Kansas City, I still don't, you know, you better not lose. I mean, I don't know. It's just different. It changes the equation to me. It's still the same opponents, the same game, same field, same everything. But the reward would mess with my headspace, I think.
If you like the idea of Houston maybe winning tomorrow, you might want to play Bills or Ravens, depending on who you like in the game, to win the whole thing. Because I bet if Houston beats Kansas City, the Bills-Ravens winner becomes the Super Bowl favorite going into next weekend. Assuming, like, Detroit wins, and Detroit-Philadelphia is a pretty close matchup if that's what we get. Whereas Houston at Buffalo or Houston at Baltimore would not look like that.
Right.
The winner of Bills-Ravens would become the Super Bowl favorite, I think, if the Chiefs lose. Game two tomorrow night on Fox, Washington at Detroit. Detroit is favored by 9.5. I will give the points here again. Let's see Washington do it. A little bit like the first game tomorrow. Washington's a nice story. If they can keep it close with Detroit, they've done a great thing. So I'll give Detroit minus 9.5.
I think Detroit is going to blow Washington off the field. I'll take Washington plus the points.
There it is. Okay.
Yeah, it very much feels to me like a good job, Washington. You've had a good year. Maybe a little like Houston last year. Rookie quarterback, big story in the league. Oh, you won a playoff game. Oh, look at that. Wow, great. Yeah, no. All right, just calm down. Right, slow your roll. Detroit is a machine. I think it's a really tough spot for Washington. But, give me the points.
Game three, play the player. Rams at Eagles, Philadelphia home -6, 3 o'clock Sunday on NBC before the Bills game. I love Philadelphia in this game. I think the Rams are just, mid. And from home against a Vikings team that they had figured out to all the way out east to Philadelphia, cold weather, short week from a Monday night to an early Sunday. Yeah, I don't love it. Philadelphia is just a very complete team. I'll take the Eagles -6. Fourth playoff meeting all time in both of the NFC matchups. Washington and Detroit, those have all been since the 80s. And then Rams and Eagles, they met once when it was the St. Louis Rams. That might have been an NFC championship game where St. Louis beat Philadelphia. I think it was. And right before, I had landed in New Orleans for the Super Bowl when I was watching the Rams and the Eagles. That was it. And then it was the Patriots over the Rams in the Super Bowl that year, 2001 season. The Eagles lost to the Rams another time in 89. And as you'll remember, they beat the Rams 14-0 in the 1949 playoffs. Philadelphia -6. You like it too.
I'm not sure. The Eagles can be a little funny still. Like I think most of the year it's been, they're over the through whatever emotional difficulties they were having. Weird stuff with the media and is the receiver mad? Is this guy mad? Everybody's mad. Is the coach whatever? Weird stuff.
We are reading on the sidelines now.
Yeah. So they're always to me. It's possible that they have a game where you're watching it and just looking at your friends going, what is happening here? Like, why? He's good. What are you doing? And I love Matthew Stafford. We were talking to Sam earlier, and he said, Fangio will take away Puka. Well, Cooper Kupp didn't have a single target last week, so 12 for 180 and 3 scores for Cooper Kupp. Go Rams. I don't really believe any of this, but I do love Matthew Stafford.
Yes, you do.
But I'll take the Rams and the points.
He's on your non-Buffalo Mount Rushmore of favorites, I think.
I think that's fair.
All sports. Currently,
yeah.
Just current?
Current, yeah. He wouldn't. Elway would take his place.
Really?
Yeah.
You liked Elway more than this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Wow, that's weird. I don't know. I didn't like Elway.
Really?
I didn't like him until he became an executive. And when you've seen how well he's done at that, I grudgingly started to respect him.
Elway was the first guy who didn't play for the Bills. When I was a kid, I liked Roger Staubach and like other guy when I'm a kid. But as a somewhat fully functional adult type person watching Elway in the late 80s and 90s, I felt like, boy, I really like this guy, even though he was, on the wrong side. So I've always had a warm spot for him.
Fourth game of the weekend, Baltimore at Buffalo, 6:30 Sunday on CBS and WGR. I'm taking the Bills. I felt that way all week, just that I trust them a little bit more.
Don't you know Derrick Henry's on the Ravens?
I do know that. Justice Hill is also on the Ravens, who caught more passes in their first meeting.
Justice Hill's like 4 feet tall. Who cares about stupid little Justice Hill? Derrick Henry.
I see what you're doing. Have you got a Harbaugh rant in you here before the week is out? Or just Justice Hill? More receptions in that first meeting than the receivers and tight ends combined in that game for Baltimore. He had 6.
No, I love the Bills in this matchup.
Do you dislike John Harbaugh? I do not dislike John Harbaugh.
No,
you think he's a little bit...
I hate his brother.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's all I got.
Do you think
he's
petty?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. John Harbaugh.
Special teams coach. He's living off some Super Bowl he won with Flacco. I mean, get out of here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Kahn earlier said he just sort of threw it in, like maybe the worst team ever to make a Super Bowl run, that Ravens team.
Right.
I guess I don't think of him like that, but he might be right. So are you on the Bills then?
I'm going to.
Baltimore? You're going opposite on all four?
Yeah.
So that means you have the four road teams.
Yeah.
I'm taking the four home teams.
Seems like a successful plan.
Divisional round history. Oh, I never looked for that one guy who wanted to know about being a home underdog in the playoffs. But I did remember there were two games last week where a home team was a dog and they won both games easily, the Texans and the Rams. So hopefully that was worth something to him. Sal Capaccio coming up Football Friday. Sabres and Penguins tonight downtown, pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Thinking again about tomorrow night into Sunday, if Kansas City were to lose, and the difference in what it would all feel like. Not that the Bills or the Ravens wouldn't have a fighting chance, even maybe a good chance in Kansas City. I mean, they've probably been the better teams all season long than the Chiefs, but it's still the two-time defending champions at home. All right, well, you think you're better, go prove it. Versus a home game against the Texans, that would be pretty crazy. Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline. You'd agree, Sal? I mean, imagine the even a higher level of enthusiasm around this game if you were to get an upset tomorrow.
Yeah, I've kind of not allowed myself to go there, but it's certainly there. And the Texans, if you go back, they lost by eight or nine points, I think, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
to Kansas City. I think it was a Saturday game, maybe. And, you know, there are some things that they do that can give the Chiefs problems, namely their defense can get after it. And, you know, right now, as we know, the Chiefs' offensive line has been, you know, a bit shaky this year. But I do think about it because it reminds me of 2021, if you guys remember. I remember being in Kansas City and watching the Bengals-Titans game the night before the Bills played against the Chiefs. And the Bengals won 19-16. And from that moment, you're like, oh, my God, like, you win this game. You're hosting the AFC Championship next week. How unbelievable would that be? And, yeah, it would be incredible if that was the case going into it here at home knowing that versus in 2021 when you're on the road thinking that in front of this crowd with the crowd knowing that's the case. It'd be pretty amazing.
Derrick Henry, by the way, in that Bengals-Titans game. Remember, he came back from an injury? 20 for 62. That. 20 for 62
right.
In that game.
That scenario, Sal, I said earlier, like that I've had a pretty easygoing week. I don't know, just headspace-wise, like I don't find it really useful to get all wound up and nervous about these games anymore. They're coming either way. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. So I try to just keep a level head. Mike mentioning like the idea of like, you know, we watch that game tomorrow afternoon and you get the Houston result, you get the Houston win. Now I'm nervous because now I feel like you better not lose. And I hate feeling like you better not lose. Like, my approach to this game has been Baltimore's excellent. The Bills are excellent. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens within the game that we, you know, tear apart and analyze and blame people for or whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, I can live with a result here if I lose here and nothing stupid happens. But suddenly, if I have the chance to host Houston in the AFC title game, now I'm tight.
Yeah, I agree with that. It reminds me of last week a little bit. Last week was, you better not lose this, right? You can't lose this. Come on, what are we doing? You have to win this game. And I felt like all that pressure was on the Bills, and you feel that as, you know, a fan rooting for the team out there, I'm sure, saying, like, come on, like, there's nothing to kind of win here other than, oh, you're supposed to do it. The difference here is, though, as opposed to last week, I think the Ravens would feel the same way, right? And the Ravens fans would feel the same way. Like, because, let's face it, they would also host the AFC Championship game.
Right.
And they'd probably feel great about their chances against the Houston Texans if they rolled into that play in that game at home. So, you know, in both scenarios here, whereas Denver's like, yeah, we're just going out there and playing loose. If the Texans win, you have both teams and both fan bases all of a sudden, you know, puckering up and going, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
To your word, loose. Sal, do you predict that the Bills will seem loose, be loose, if you can tell? Like, is that the vibe you're getting this week, that there's pressure, of course, everybody knows the stakes, but maybe with their experience, they're not necessarily uptight about it?
Yeah, I would expect by the time we get to Sunday, 6:30, and I see pregame warm-ups and those guys coming on the field, I will probably feel that a lot. Actually, Wednesday, down at the facility, our first day with the players, I was debating in my head, do they seem serious? Are they dialed in? Are they tight? And then by the time we got to Thursday, I felt that it was more that they were serious and dialed in because, you know, it wasn't as quote unquote tight. I mean, you could even see Deion Dawkins with his glasses on at his, you know, podium and things like that. And I think that they were just really dialed in on Wednesday and trying to, you know, get work done from what I witnessed. And I think as the week's gone on, I've felt a little bit more like they're confident. And yeah, loose, relaxed, whatever that feeling is. I thought Dawson Knox was really good on this yesterday when he talked about the difference between being nervous or excited. He said there's a fine line. If you're nervous, it's more like you're almost, you know, hoping that something bad doesn't happen. If you're excited, you're just waiting for something good to happen.
Yeah, I feel like, Sal, like you should get more accustomed to dealing with these pressure situations. I talked mm-hmm. some about this with Nate, I think, and maybe with you on Wednesday, like McDermott's role in that, right? Like we've talked about the different stories and we've talked with you about your experiences with McDermott this year and if he's different, how he's different and how does that manifest itself. And you reference him talking about this wrestler and all these different things that he's brought up. I feel like to sort of sum all that up, this might suffice. Like you got to learn how to go through things, and McDermott would need to learn too. And if he has to help these guys deal with pressure situations, it helps if he really knows and is comfortable with how he's dealing with pressure situations. Maybe he's gotten better at that. Maybe he's just more relaxed now because he knows he's been through some stuff. You know, last year was a rougher ride than he's had in other seasons, and maybe it's just a little bit more like, I'm just going to do the work and the chips will fall where they may. And I think that's the healthiest approach to have.
I agree, and it seems like that has been mostly his approach now in this kind of evolution of Sean McDermott, which is he doesn't have to have every detail about everything all the time in his mind, right? He's still the head coach. It's still his responsibility. He's making sure things are going the way they're supposed to go, but he's letting people do their job. He gives ownership to everyone. Not that he wasn't before, but it just was always maybe a forest through the trees type mentality, right? Like, you're so focused on these little details that the big picture kind of gets lost. And I think it seems like the big picture maybe has been crystallized here because he's allowing those smaller details to be handled in different ways. So I agree with that. I think the transition they've made from some of the players they had also is interesting because you had a group of players here, as great as they were, who have gone through this together, like 13 seconds and some of these playoff failures. And I think there can be sometimes things said for when you get in those situations, those things come back to you mentally. And I don't know, I'm not saying that you're going down the field thinking what's going to happen and go wrong, but I think collectively as a unit, you almost feel like, okay, what's going to happen? We talk about the Sabres with this all the time, right? They get to the third period. I think even Dylan Cousins said something like this the other day, like, okay, like, we're there now. Is something going to happen that's going to go wrong? Well, guess what? Now you have still some of those same players. Of course, Josh is here and guys like that. But you also have a whole new group of players that have never gone through that. And I think that can also be a very healthy aspect to it.
It has been pretty convincing of late, and really for the most part this season, sort of the vibes with the Bills as they have described them. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. It's Friday. We've been talking about this game and the nuts and bolts of it every day, all week, and even sometimes on other stations that have called for us. Is there an angle that you might be able to think of here that you think has been underplayed? Is there something that we should be talking about or thinking about more often than it sounds?
Two things. Number one, I agree with Bulldog. I was listening earlier when he said that the Bills' offense against the Ravens' defense has not been kind of talked about enough. And I agree with that. It's been so much focus on the other side of the ball. How are the Bills going to stop the Ravens? How are the Bills going to stop the Ravens? What are they going to do about Derrick Henry? I love your tweet today about by the time we get to 6:30, you know, he's Paul Bunyan basically, and they have a bunch of 400 pounders, right? I mean,
right.
I get it. And you're right. But look, the Bills have been unbelievable on offense this year. The number two scoring team in the NFL. They, up until the Week 18 game, they're averaging 3 points per drive, which I don't know if people know. Historically, that is pretty amazing. Now, the Detroit Lions are the only other team scoring at a higher clip this year than the Buffalo Bills. They're number two, and the Ravens are number three. And how they're doing it to me is fascinating. I think that's a bit under-talked about. They're running the ball. They're controlling the line of scrimmage, 210 yards rushing last week. The other thing I do think has to be talked about here between now and Sunday and see how it plays out. Guys, we have two kickers here who one is a probable, it could be a Hall of Famer, one in Tyler Bass. They've struggled at times. They've missed 10 kicks, both of them, this year. And they've been, they both go to Tyler Bass last year in the playoffs, obviously a big kick against Kansas City. His kicks he's missed this year haven't really hurt the Bills. They have for Justin Tucker. But, you know, the Bills' special teams, we know their issues. I'm not talking about special teams. I'm talking about the kickers. And I just think that, like, this is a kind of game where that can happen. Will Lutz last week made 40 straight kicks until he hit the upright. That could have made it a 10-10 game. Like, it is real when you come into this stadium in this environment to kick footballs.
Interesting. Yeah, Tucker, they lost only five games. It's five games, but he missed against the Raiders, and they lost by three. He missed against the Steelers, right? He missed two against the Steelers. They lost by two. He missed two against the Eagles, and they lost by five. So more to your point about the importance of those kicks. All right, Bulldog asked you this yesterday, but one day closer, I feel like you're probably in the same place. But the weather here, what, if anything, does it do, cold, maybe not windy, to either team's approach?
Well, today I had Patrick Hammer on the Extra Point Show, as I normally do, and it was interesting today because he said there's actually a little bit more chance, and it started to perk up, of snow in the game. And just there's going to be some active weather around. And he said all it takes is a little bit to kind of stir that up. Look what happened the last couple of days ago or last night or whatever it was, last night. And you see all that snow in Orchard Park. He said, I'm not predicting that kind of snow, but we could have a little bit of weather in this game. We could have some snow because there's a storm that might be maybe getting a little bit closer and causing some of that. So I think that's interesting. The coldness, being the air temperature itself, you're right, not the wind, but the wind chill will play a factor to make it even colder. I just think it is something to monitor, and like, how do the Ravens handle it? I think there's no question about the Bills handling it. I mean, there shouldn't be any question as of now with all these games they've played, and of course the New England game several years ago, even this year, whether it was the New England or Jets game, I can't remember one of them, was super cold, obviously. Even, you know, the wasn't too bad, but the Broncos game last week. So I do think they can impact that. And then I do think it could impact, the decision, even if Zay Flowers really was, maybe close to playing, which I don't think so, but John Harbaugh said he had a chance. I think you'd have to consider the weather conditions if you're actually going to think about putting him on the field.
Yeah, a lot of this is repetitive. I'm sure we've covered it already. But today I just sort of stumbled into a point more about the weather and Baltimore's style of play, all the ball handling, right? Pass option stuff, like Lamar putting the ball in Derrick Henry's belly, pulling it out, that kind of stuff. I think if your hands are cold, the ball is slick and cold, the turf is frozen, like all of that stuff could be trouble for Baltimore. It's another piece of the puzzle here that I like about the game being here.
Agreed with that. Lamar said he's not going to wear gloves, and that's fine. It's for some guys. It's not for some guys. And, when you get on the field, they have those hand warmers, those pouches those guys wear, and I'm sure he'll put them in there. But sure, as the game goes on and you're going down the field, your hands start to get a little cold. It's tougher to grip the ball. It's tougher when you put it in the belly, like you said. It's also a harder football. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that kind of come into play here. We know we have a guy here in Josh Allen that it just doesn't seem to ever matter to him, right? And I think that's what gives you comfort in the Buffalo Bills. But, I mean, it's still going to be harder for the Bills players to catch the ball and the Bills to kick the ball. But I think that they've kind of become accustomed to it. But more than anything, I think it's number 17 who you have the utmost faith in to have this type of situation not factor for him.
Sal, enjoy the playoffs this weekend. I'm sure you will. We'll talk next week.
You got it, guys. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend.
All right. That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the West Hare Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Sal will wear gloves.
Yes, he will.
I would guess.
I think that's correct.
That would be smart. More on Bills Ravens, a little bit more. Not time for much more, a little bit more on this game. If we can think of anything else to say about it, that's our challenge. After this break, it is Football Friday on WGR, Sabres pregame with Paul Hamilton, Sabres Penguins coming up in about 18 minutes. The pregame show anyway is game time just after 7 as usual. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Bulldog brought his going out coat. I am wearing mine. This is one of maybe 5 days a year where I dress up.
What's the occasion?
My wife's work party is tonight.
All right.
So, and this is me dressing up. I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Can I crash that? No, I don't have.
I can't answer that.
I don't have a red velvet blazer.
I don't think you need a red velvet blazer.
No.
But you might need to be married to someone who works there or work there yourself. That might need to be.
That's
my understanding.
That's a non-starter for me then. Yeah, I'm going to skip that.
I think that's how this
works.
No,
I was just complaining about how, like 11:30 this morning, I'm on the bike. I'm like, I'm going to go. Like, because, you know, I'm a creature of habit. I usually go out somewhere close to home, have a couple of drinks. My wife's working tonight, so I'm a free agent. But, you know, in my head at 11 o'clock this morning, like, I'm going to go to this place or I'm going to go to that place. I'm going to go to, like, three different places. I'm going to text some friends. Then we get in here, the show starts, and, just hurdle. I'll probably just go close to home. Now it's, like, almost 6 o'clock. Like, I'm just going to go home. I don't know what I'm. Who am I kidding?
I think maybe you'll talk yourself back into it, the way you're sounding now.
Yeah.
You don't want to go home.
No, I definitely don't.
But you think you will.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't.
Depends.
Find out on Sunday.
This is a good parking spot.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it is.
My wife and I on New Year's Day, we went over to Jaron Miles for New Year's Day brunch. We brought brunch over for them. We had a real nice time over there. You know, just a couple hours. We hadn't seen them all through the holidays. And so it was great. The kids and everything. And then we left there at like, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock maybe in the afternoon. Jer lives very close to where I live. And so driving home on Hurdle, there's a parking spot right in front of my favorite bar. I said to her, these are the rules. There's a space. We got to stop and have one. I'm sorry. I can't.
You're like, George Costanza.
I'm George Costanza. There's a prime parking spot right in front of the bar. I mean, I don't care. We got to go.
Actually, with that in mind, if I can't find one in the 10 minutes or so between when I arrive at this party and 10 minutes from then, I'll just maybe leave.
That'll go over well.
How come you didn't come? I just couldn't find any place to park.
Yeah.
I went home. All right, well, high drama here for our respective Friday nights.
As the show ever sounded older.
Exactly.
Good.
Dan is with us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. exactly. So I was traveling on vacation end of September. I was on a red eye, and I couldn't see the first Ravens game. Of course, it was ugly. I got home from vacation. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna watch that. So I decided to watch it this week because I'm like, okay, it's got to be this week's got to be, regardless of how it goes, it's got to be, you know, better than how that game goes. And two things stood out to me. One, after Derrick Henry had the long run, they ran this stat that said that it was literally, you know, that result, you know, going 83 yards or whatever, was 0.01% chance. It should have been, you know, like a 9-yard run statistically or whatever. And okay, that's, you know, all circumstances, and it's not, you know, 7-foot-tall Derrick Henry. But I guess the point that I want to make is that, you know, you had said earlier in the show, if Derrick gets his 110 yards, we'll take that all day long. But to me, if they can avoid the home run ball,
yeah,
either from Derrick or from Lamar, and combine that with the fact that, okay, they've got a different offense. McDermott has always done a good job against them. And this year they've done a very good job of adjusting in, you know, within game, second half. So the fact that they had that horrible game without the players, you know, that were out, and they've seen it, they can adjust to it, you know, to me, that's going to be two big factors. If they can avoid the home run shot and then, you know, their ability to adjust, it's going to be a heavyweight fight, you know, no doubt about it. It's going to go 15 rounds. But if they can do those two things, I feel better about Buffalo's chances.
In a certain way, likewise, that it happened already makes me think it won't happen in this game.
Right.
That they had that experience, so I kind of agree. Thank you, Dan. Sabres pregame next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Paul Hamilton after the update here on WGR.